This is Mechanics After Hours.
I'm exhausted, and my colleague is probably slightly sleep-deprived, as does that normally happen to you? I don't know! But it is, of course, episode 130, and we must deliver, no matter how much our brains feel like turning into puddles of mush inside our skulls. Welcome to a music and technology podcast. 130 episodes, after hours, addicts of the rack. I can't remember what I've said already. I'm delirious, of course. Pete, what have you been doing this week?
Well, one of the things I've been doing this week, and I've done it on several occasions now, was that I happened to be in Woking Town. In Surrey, mm-hmm. And for our international listeners, Woking is very close to London.
Close enough.
In fact, when I've been working in America, when people have asked me where I come from, I just say London.
Mm. It's better than saying Surrey in Australia and they think you said sorry and the whole conversation gets very confusing.
Okay. I was walking past a photography shop,
ooh,
which I have frequented quite a lot in the past, and was sort of upset, but took advantage of the situation in that they unfortunately are closing down.
Was there a liquidation sale?
That type of thing. Ooh. After 97 years.
Oh, damn, they missed out on the big hundo.
Yes.
Damn.
Very unfortunate. I don't know if it's pandemic related or what, but unfortunately they were, when I first discovered they were closing down, about 6 days away from the final closing, and I nipped inside and had a good look around to see if anything was going that might interest me, and purchased the very flight case you've got your laptop on at the moment.
Indeed. Let me just stop using it as a desk. Shall I unclasp the clasps?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. It's rather beefy.
So I was wondering how close it was to the one that you acquired the
very
other week.
Very similar. Mine stops about here.
Okay.
That kind of shape. Everything else quite similar. Although mine isn't a fetching orange.
Well, it's only the catches that are a fetching orange. Everything else is just black.
There's quite a few of them.
Yes, there is.
Dramatic music.
So
wow, Pete, you bought some foam.
Yeah, that is not the square little fillets of foam.
Mm.
That's the hexagonal, if you examine it.
So it is. I've not seen hexagonal foam.
Different.
Before. That is cool. Okay.
But also, if you know near you, that internal case, there's a soft case.
That little bag thing.
That actually goes with it as well. So you have a choice.
That's cool.
Either the foam, which you can pull out segments
and customize
around your equipment, or there's a kind of secondary padded bag that goes inside.
Awesome. Does that have little insert things, or is it just padded?
No, it's got the Velcro, so you could, and I have got lots of stuff from my other camera bags that I can utilize. But I mean, it's obviously second hand, but I paid £50 for that.
Yeah, that's a deal.
Yeah, so
I love it.
A case like that would cost north of £300.
Probably. Vanguard is the brand. Lovely, positive clasp sounds.
Yes. So I grabbed a few other bits and pieces, some lighting stands and some other odds and sods. And then I went back there today.
Oh, no, you're an
addict.
Because
there was something that caught my eye,
and
I thought it'd be interesting. It's an interesting piece of objet d'art.
Objet d'art. Oh, unexpected.
I will pass it to you forthwith.
Oh, it's an interesting...
Its description, it is a Kodak...
Cobwebby.
Mark III pocket camera.
Pocket?
Yeah, I don't...
You're going to have big pockets for one of these, okay.
But it is about 100 years old.
No way, that's cool.
So there is a button.
There's a where I might expect a shutter button to be. Do I press this?
Press this to release it.
Ooh, the flap opened.
You open it up.
Ooh,
and
a
then
click.
Just below the lens, you can see two kind of triggers that you pinch in and pull out. And the lens comes out on a set of bellows.
Yes, it does. Is that leather?
Yes.
Wow. And then, ooh, is that the little shutter release just wrapped around there?
Yeah, little shutter.
Whoa!
And then the viewfinder is that little thing that's on the side. It just needs to be swiveled up.
So it'll be top-down kind of waist level.
Yes, exactly.
Findering.
It's not functional. I mean, they had a whole display. They were all described as non-functioning, but it's a brilliant piece for set dressing.
Yeah. Kodak Series 3. Okay, let's have a look at the markings we've got on the lens here. 127mm, f6.3. Oh, and then you've got this dial here, which... Oh, interesting. So... Yeah, that slides around, presumably doing something inside the lens, and you've got... Yeah, so at the bottom, I can see the aperture from 6.3 to 45, that's high. And are these shutter speeds in here as well? Maybe. Yeah, okay, so we've got shutter speeds 100th, probably, 50th, 25th, 10th, and they're kind of stacked in a way that lets you judge the brightness of your scene from dull, grey, clear to brilliant. And I guess that's how you kind of try and set your exposure. That's really interesting. And then figures indicate required exposure written on the front. Ooh, and there is a dial on the top, ooh, which appears to be a manual shutter speed setting, also with a bulb mode. Does that mean the shutter works? It does! The shutter works! Amazing. Right, let's see if the shutter speeds do things. This might be a tenth of a second. Maybe not. This might be a hundredth. Oh, there might have been a tenth. This might be a hundredth. About the same. That's super cool.
What
a lovely thing.
I believe I read it was 3.5 inch by 4.5 inch negatives.
Chunky.
I would imagine that you can't buy film for it.
Likely not.
But I have no intention to use it in any way other than for decorative purposes. And then you press those down.
Down in sort of this way?
Yeah, sort of downwards, and because they're on a little catch, and then it just shuts.
Amazing. What a wonderful little doodad.
Not that little, actually, for a pocket camera.
Absolutely massive. Use film number A118. And it's got a carrying handle on the top because it's absolutely not fitting in a pocket. That is wonderful and must be in the background when Rakalik Studios appears on video, as I assume it will at some point in the near future. I see a Canon C100 on a slider in front of me. Sliders are cool.
Yes, I was preparing to video the Scarab.
Mm.
So that is the intention. So awesome. I was going to do a sort of tracking shot while it was making
flashing
noises.
Lights and such. Yeah.
It's the camera we'll use for the YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. Delish. Did you hear that? Rack Addicts, YouTube. The future. At some point, once the studio is done. And I believe you've got news on the progress of Rack Addicts Towers as we sit in it. I'm currently closer to the wall of flight cases than I was last time.
And it's taller.
Mm.
No, the Lambda is not present because it's in that bottom flight case now.
The bottom one that was a mixer. So what have we got? Lambda, then...
From bottom to top, we have the Korg Lambda in an X Studio Master mixer flight case. And then the next one, I believe, is the Polyevolver.
Gotcha. Read his mind, did
I? And the next one up is the Pedal Train flight case with all the small desktop units. And the top one is for the Summit.
Delish. Summit's just next door, though.
Yes. Yeah. And I've got to order one most probably this week, maybe next week, for the Axis Virus.
Oh, is that what's getting booted out when the new ones come in?
Yes, so I am hoping, fingers crossed, that the Hydra Deluxe will be with me next week.
Awesome.
But I'm not holding my breath the way things are going with supply chains and so forth.
Indeed.
But if it is displacing the Axis Virus for now.
Gotcha. Similar vibes.
Yes.
Awesome. What more in the news department?
That's it, really, apart from where we're progressing. I've moved the deck chairs on the Titanic, i.e. I've shuffled everything around in this room, but I've been going through this conglomeration of boxes and flight cases and cameras and lighting equipment and computers and all sorts of stuff that is crowding us into the corner of this space that we're in at the moment.
Wonderful stuff. Now, my brain is mostly fried, so I can't really remember what I've been doing, but I do know that there was a mod CAF, and I'm going to have to weave some of the news, in fact, into our bit about the mod CAF, because some stuff went down. But before we get there, if you're a long-time listener of this podcast, of course we hope you are, you may remember a Sam that we had on the podcast once, a lovely Welsh chap who's a good friend and ex-colleague of ours. Guess what he's bought?
Go on.
It's a Matrix Brute.
Oh,
good man. I flawed his taste in synthy Mo Sizors, this will be his first synth.
Okay.
What a way to kick it off. I think he's got a pocket operator. And of course, he uses loads of soft synths, and he's played around with lots of the stuff that I've had.
Bit of a contrast between a pocket operator and a
just a tad. But no, I think he's made the right decision.
Did he buy a new one or secondhand?
What did he? He sent me a picture of a website that looked quite official, so I assume it's fresh.
You can pick them up quite reasonably.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they've only got the black editions now or whether they still do the old...
The classic blue and wood.
Because I noticed that the drum brutes seem to have been discontinued.
Really?
Well, certainly the standard coloured ones. We only seem to have the noir.
I didn't even know they did a noir, really.
I think it's... I get the impression a lot of synth manufacturers sort of have a last hurrah with a particular model by putting it out in funny colours or black keys or some novelty colour scheme just to...
He's got the black one.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it would be
awesome.
New. Yeah.
It will be swish.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So I applaud his taste. Now, we had a Modley Caff. Some time ago, I can't remember. It was quite cool. We just had some performances, really, but we did meet some new faces and had a good time nonetheless. Now, there were performances, and we're going to listen to some snippets of them, which will be fun. First, let's have a look at a bit of news, because do you remember Finn's performance?
Pete, yes, I do.
Remember? So he had previously done quite a lovely techno chunk, which I believe is one of his first major live setups that he was demonstrating there. And this time he said, oh, can I do something a bit ambient? And of course we went, yes, ambient, please. He used a certain Yamaha that I can't quite really remember the name of. But interestingly, Yamaha have filed a new trademark, which appears to be the same thing. Finn used a certain vintage-ish 90s Yamaha synthesizer called the AN1X, an analog modeling, a VA synth. And I thought it sounded quite good. I thought it was great. But Yamaha have registered a trademark recently for AN-X. So, something is a-brewing. Let's see what phraseology we can extract from the application itself. Okay, in the trademark application, all we have is the letters AN-X, really. That's all we've got to go on from Yamaha. But the speculation is, will it just be a continuation of what the Reface CS is doing? Because apparently that was kind of based on the old AN-X stuff. We'll find out, but we thought it'd be fun to mention. We can keep an eye on it. But now, let's take a listen to what Finn gave us at the CAF. Lovely stuff. So that wonderful juicy pad you heard will have been the AN1X, accompanied by the Erica Synths LXR-02 for some of the percussive bits and pieces, and there was an old digital Boss sampley thing that I don't know the name of involved. It was glorious. He also won the low-end competition, I think, that evening. It was rather majestic. Wonderful. And why not stick a couple of bits of news in between these little ModCaf recordings for you? We were speculating, or being confused, or frustrated, or something, last week about the new Akai MPC Key 61, because we thought, is there anything actually that exciting going on? Is it just an NPC in a different shape? And in fact, yes, it is. You do get more memory and some synth engines as well, but that's kind of the lot. Mystery Unraveled.
I've played with it.
Is it boring?
No, it's not great.
Ooh, is it, in what way?
It's the sample library that it comes with.
Oh, is it really uninspiring and sad?
It's a bit... Well, certainly, I gave it a reasonable audition. Mm. I mean, the build quality's great.
Yeah.
It looks interesting, but yeah, the sample library on it. A lot of my colleagues have suggested that if you've got one, you just load it with all your own samples.
I was just about to say something to that effect as well. Did you try any of the synth engines? Because I've no idea how good they or not they sound.
It's hard to say because it's got this way that you choose, yeah, I suppose they were the synth engines. You get this kind of initial library sort of, they've got names. It's a, I don't know, it's a bit like Native Instruments in some respects. So you go for those particular synths, but they all sounded a bit, you know, for something that
sounds
is
about right.
Quite expensive.
Yeah.
I think I'd prefer an NPC-1 or something like that.
Mm.
Same
more
operating
portable.
System.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more suitable. Yeah, when I first saw it, it looks exciting, but nah. Yeah.
Well, let's hear our next one. This was from Ben Hanlan, a long-time modly caffler. Take a listen to this. Ben Hanlan. You can find him on SoundCloud at The Third, or soundcloud.com/Ben Hanlan. And his setup consists of Akai Force, I believe. He also had a Behringer Crave, and quite interestingly, the MIDI Game Boy going on, which were some kind of harsh, detuned, square kind of sounding bits later in his set.
Didn't he say it was a MS-20 emulation that they had for it?
No, that's actually something I forgot about Finn's setup. He had a Nintendo DS running some Korg synth, I believe.
Okay, it was Finn.
Yeah, but of course we had two different Nintendo consoles separated by 20 years or something, both doing electronic music, which was quite cool. Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff indeed. Now, let me do the last bit of news I have for you before we hear what Pete concocted at the Codley Math. Teenage Engineering were doing some stuff. Apparently, they have a long-standing relationship with Swedish House Mafia after or before their track 1 heavily featured the OP1 and was also in the music video, something like that. Either way, they've made them a rather huge piece of hardware for their upcoming tour. It is called the Mode, or the Moad. Either way, the mother of all decks. It looks quite cool, but is in fact rather boring. So, it's a giant aluminium space console enclosure type thing that has some tractor controllers in it.
Mm-hmm.
And some reel-to-reels, I think, probably just for artistic interest. It certainly looks cool as a stage piece, but yeah, it's just some tractor DJ stuff. But yeah, look it up. Teenage Engineering, a mother of all decks for Swedish House Mafia. It is 5 by 1.2 meters and can be broken apart for touring purposes. custom-made lighting effects and mechanical tape reels, I highly doubt Swedish House Mafia are deploying tape loops live on stage, playing for thousands and thousands of people. It doesn't seem like their kind of thing. So I assume they're for effect. Anyway, it does look cool, so go and find it. Right, Pete, let's hear what you conjured up.
Yes.
And groovy. How? What? Apart from the scarab. We know it's the scarab, but yeah. What was Guanin in there?
A lot of it was the Queen of Pentacles, which was doing the rhythmic drum stuff, and there was mostly the monsoon feeding back on itself a lot, which was a lot of the grungy stuff that was going on. Mm-hmm. There was a tad of the Dofer A-111-6V.
Delish. It does the stuff, doesn't it?
Yes. So it was a bit cacophonous, but it was all a bit sort of, let's twiddle some knobs and talk about it. I did spend most of the time talking about it rather than exposing our audience to it.
It's the good stuffs. I do actually have a retroactive piece of weekly update for you. I've been playing guitar again.
Ooh.
And what is more, I've been enjoying it. Whoa! So, there is a ModCaf thing happening in the only July to ever have happened in the history of the world, the 31st, in a pub somewhere, which is cool, live sets and such. And I might do some stuff there, if I can learn enough of the things.
Are you going to start becoming a pedalhead or something?
No, my history of guitar, not the guitar bit, the other half of the guitaring world, has always been amp modelling. So the only time I owned a box with a speaker in it, it was a modelling amp, a really basic Vox. I then bought a Fractal Audio AxeFX 2, which at the time was the best amp modelling device around. Rather expensive, a 2U rack unit with a sort of amp capture thing, you know, when you kind of set up microphones and you can get it to replicate a real tone, much like the Kemper did. After that came out, I think others caught up, like the Kemper. And I think I sold that, bought a lot of modular, but also downgraded a bit to the floorboard version of it, which was great. And I did a bunch of performing for university students' final performance showcase things while I was at university, which was great fun. And then I sold that for lots more modular. And now I am using plugins, so I might main stage it up, I think. That'll probably be the solution.
Okay. But you are enjoying it, you say?
That's what is exciting me most, the fact that it was actually fun, and I wanted to pick up the guitar. It's been a really long time.
You're going all guitar department on me.
Ooh, I'm sorry about that. Yeah. About that. It's happening. Not going to commit myself to anything. The plan is I will attempt to learn maybe three of the songs from that EP and play them in sequence, because they're good.
And you were saying that you've learned that piece that we spoke about that we can't talk about at the moment that we spoke about.
We spoke about. So I've learnt a section of it. For my coursework while I was at university, I did a full cover of another one of their tunes called Chalk Teeth, which I also recorded the drums and bass for. I didn't play the drums because I'm uncoordinated, and I had a friend do the bass as well. And I will play you that as well, Pete. And unfortunately, our audience won't know what it sounds like, but they can find it on SoundCloud. If you go to Robert Rhodes Music on SoundCloud, that's RHOADES for Robert Rhodes Music. If you find something called Chalk Teeth Coursework, that'll be what I'm about to play, Pete. I'm very proud of that. I do like it.
It's very metal.
It is very metal. Very metal. But there's no vocals to annoy people, so we'll see what the ModCaf community think if they don't hate it. We'll find out. Who knows? We have some very open-minded musical people at the ModCaf. There we are.
I did give Telmo the third degree as he wasn't able to turn up with his plant synthesizer thing because
that been quite
he had COVID.
Yes, and he also wanted a projector for it, which I had totally forgotten to arrange. Assuming knowing he was going to turn up, I'd totally forgotten about the projector. So I kind of, got out of that one.
I did inform him when I saw him last that there would not be a conventional ModCaf
until September.
Yes,
indeed.
And unfortunately, I can't attend the all day on the 31st because I'm working in the shop.
Oh, of course. What is it? Is it a Saturday? No, it's a Sunday, isn't
it?
Yeah. Ah, gross.
Is it going into the evening or is it?
It is. Yes, you might be able to catch the tail.
Yeah, I could pop along.
That's probably when it's going to get a bit techno and chunky, so it will be quite fun.
Maybe I should sort something out for it.
Oh, yeah.
Did you say August?
No, this is July.
Well, I've got a month and a bit.
Month and a bit. Yeah, we haven't divided up the time into the slots and got people for the slots yet, so I'll let you know when we know.
That could inspire me to get the
flight case with the pedal board. Yes,
yeah, that going. Because that's a lot more. You press the button and it goes.
Yeah, awesome. And you can save everything but the song mode because you don't have one because it's a dig attack.
Yeah, yeah. I fancy writing to.
I'm sure loads of people have been haranguing Electron for years about it.
Yeah, I think it's a deliberate tactic.
They've got to sort of differentiate the Octatrack in some way. Right, that's all we've got for you until the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. Mine is just going to be a couple of musical bits, nice and easy, but Pete's got something pretty cool, I reckon. I'm going to recommend, for a standard electronic music flavour, the new Deadmau5 tune called XYZ, because he is Canadian, of course, so it is Z, not Z, XYZ. And there are also three new Spirit Box tunes, if you like it a bit metally. Those are Rotoscope, Sew Me Up, Hysteria. Go find them. Pete.
Right, for our subcategory, which we like to call What Has Pete Found on YouTube? This week on YouTube, I have found a very esoteric little channel called Usagi Electronic.
I'm going to be looking this up as you're going. How do we spell Aroonie it?
It is spelled Usagi and then Electric.
Ooh, cool.
So this is a gentleman who builds things from vacuum tubes, and basically he's built a computer out of them.
What a madman.
I know. And he's mounted it all on a kind of plinth, and it can be set up laying on the table, or that's how he's been testing it and so forth. But I think the intention is to have it hanging as a kind of an art piece almost, where it computes. I don't recall what the computing power is, but obviously it's not a lot.
Yeah, I would imagine not a lot. So, as a sort of almost guitarist, I'm familiar with those kind of vacuum tubes. How can they computer? What do they do? I'm also familiar with Nixie tubes, which are kind of tangential.
Obviously, vacuum tubes are the forerunner to the transistor.
That would make sense. I didn't know that.
So he is basically creating little logic circuits using the tubes.
Wonderful.
But he's also created a way of stacking them. So I don't know how whether he's wiring them together butt to butt or stacking them, but he's got this little device where he can have one on top of the other. But yeah, so these sort of very basic logic circuits.
It's super cool. For fans of test equipment as well, I've seen a video on here that says Vintage Hewlett-Packard Test Equipment Extravaganza. So if you've been rinsing the Heinbach, you might want to take a look at this guy.
Yeah, he does grab other bits of old IT as well. It's obviously his thing, but I thought it was quite novel. It had a whiff of Look Mum, No Computers about it.
Yeah. Oh man, it looks super cool. What a brilliant find.
So that is my multimedia recommendation for this week, the YouTube channel Usagi Electronic.
Excellent. Thank you so much for listening to our 130th episode. We'll see you on the next one. Farewell.